Thank you, Lord. So often we limit God because of our thoughts. We think, oh, this is the only way this will be solved. This is all we can do is do it this way. But that's not God, folks. He's limitless. Why do we limit an unlimited God? And He wants the best for you and me.
Amen.
We always have to remember that.
Okay, all right. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is so faithful, isn't He?
Yes.
He just takes such good care of His children. He's the good shepherd, and we're just so privileged and honored to be His sheep. I've entitled this message, No One Left Behind. No One Left Behind. And I'd like to begin by reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 37. And today I'll be reading from the New International Version. John 6, 37 through 40. And these are the words of Jesus. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those that He has given me, but will raise them up at the last day.
Hallelujah.
For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to You, the Good Shepherd. Because of Your willingness to lay down Your life for Your sheep, we have abundant life and blessings today and the promise of eternal life with You in the future. Great is Your faithfulness toward us. May we follow Your example of love and faithfulness and be willing to lay down our lives for others as You laid down Your life for us. And help us as a church body never to leave anyone behind. Use this imperfect vessel to speak forth Your word. You must increase and I must decrease.
Exactly.
And I pray this in the loving and compassionate and faithful name of Jesus.
Yes,
amen.
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 On November 13th, 2004, Marine First Sergeant Bradley Casal and a squad of Marines were patrolling the streets of Fallujah, Iraq, when they heard a large volume of gunfire in a nearby house. They went inside and found other Marines that had been in a firefight and were pinned down in a room by enemy gunfire. Some of the Marines had been wounded, so Sergeant Casal and his men attempted to rescue them. But during the rescue attempt, one of the enemy combatants threw a grenade into the room. Without hesitation, Sergeant Casal threw his body over the nearest wounded Marine to protect him from the grenade blast. And by the time the battle was over, Sergeant Casal himself was seriously wounded. While covering his comrade's body with his own, Sergeant Casal had not only been struck by 43 grenade fragments, but he had also been shot 7 times and had lost over 60% of his blood.
Wow.
Nevertheless, he refused medical treatment and wouldn't leave until all the other wounded Marines could be removed from the house. He was unable to walk or move himself, so 2 other Marines, Lance Corporal Chris Marquez and Lance Corporal Dan Schaffer, entered the house and they put their arms around Sergeant Casal and propped him up between them, and they carried him out of the house to a place of safety. Sergeant Casal survived his wounds and was awarded the Navy Cross for his heroism. He continued to serve in the Marines for another 14 years until his retirement in 2018 after 34 years of service. Those of you who have ever served in the military have probably heard this phrase, no man left behind. And you know that it's more than just a motto or a slogan. It's a promise, a solemn commitment. It's a covenant between brothers in arms never to leave, forsake, or abandon even one of your comrades, even at the risk of your own life. To this very day, the U.S. Army Rangers have a creed that includes the line, "I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy." In spite of his critical injuries, Sergeant Casal wasn't going to leave that house until he knew that the battle was over and his comrades were safe. And I don't know how many wounded Marines were rescued before Lance Corporals Marquez and Schaffer went back for Sergeant Casal, but they clearly weren't content with just getting some of the wounded out or getting most of the wounded out. As far as they were concerned, as long as there was one wounded Marine still left in that house, they were going to go back for him. No one was going to be lost. No one was going to be left behind. And I'm sharing this story with you because it illustrates one of the key aspects of the divine nature of God, faithfulness. So now I would like to look at the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 12 and 13. Matthew 18, 12 and 13. And again, these are the words of Jesus, and he's teaching his 12 disciples a parable where he says, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off." We've probably all heard these verses preached many times, and preachers often use this passage to emphasize God's desire to bring sinners to salvation. And that's certainly a valid interpretation, and I'm not suggesting otherwise. But today I would like for you to look at it a little differently. Here, Jesus is talking about going after a sheep that was already in the flock, a sheep who already had a shepherd. But for some reason, that sheep has wandered off and has gotten away from the safety and protection of its shepherd and the other sheep. It's now defenseless and unprotected and an easy target for the many enemies and predators that are in the wild. I want you to realize that you can be a believer, you can be a Christian, and still be a lost sheep. Not in the sense of losing your salvation or going to hell, that's not what I'm talking about, and don't get me wrong. But you can be lost in the sense that the emotional hurts and rejections that we suffer in this life, or the worries and cares of this life that weigh us down, or sometimes even our own sin, can overwhelm us like a flood and cause us to wander away from the peace and security that we once had with our shepherd and the rest of the flock. I grew up on a farm, and we always had lots of animals around. There were animals everywhere. And you can learn a lot about life and death by watching animals. And while I was watching these farm animals, I observed a couple of things. The first thing I observed was that when an animal gets hurt or gets injured, their first instinct is to crawl off by themselves and hide somewhere where they suffer in silence and die alone. And people are no different. When we get hurt emotionally or injured spiritually, or when life becomes too much to bear, or when we make mistakes and fall into sin, our tendency is to disappear, withdraw, hide ourselves, isolate ourselves, become reclusive, pull away from God, pull away from other believers. Our natural tendency is to suffer in silence and die alone. The second thing I observed by watching farm animals is that whenever an animal got sick or injured and went off by itself, there were always predators that would start coming around and begin circling like buzzards, just biding their time and waiting for an opportunity to finish off the animal and feed off of its carcass. In fact, many times when my father and I were searching for a missing animal that we believed might be hurt or sick, the way we could locate it was by looking for the buzzards circling overhead, circling over that animal, waiting for it to die. Brothers and sisters, when life throws us for a loop, and it will, whether it's a result of emotional pain and rejection and loss, or because the struggles of life have become too much to bear, or because we've fallen into sin and we're ashamed, we have to reject that natural tendency to isolate ourselves from the Lord and from our brothers and sisters and from our church, the place where we can receive love and encouragement and forgiveness and support and help.
Amen.
Our enemy, the devil, is a predator and a schemer. He's always thinking up ways and looking for opportunities to separate us from the flock. He wants to separate us from the protection and the guidance of our good shepherd and the support and encouragement of our brothers and sisters. He wants to get us off by ourselves so that he can deceive us with lies and manipulate our thoughts. His goal is to discourage us, depress us, and ultimately destroy us. For example, when someone falls into sin, sometimes the shame and embarrassment of that sin is so great that they convince themselves, or the devil convinces them, that people in the church will judge them and reject them and look down on them. And because of their shame, they can't bring themselves to show their faces in church anymore. Now, I've been around for a while, and I've seen this happen more times than I care to recall, where fine Christian men and women, precious saints who love the Lord, suddenly disappear from the church and are never seen again because they fell into sin and were too ashamed or embarrassed to come back.
That's right.
Am I telling the truth, Brother Jerry?
Yes.
Now, others who wander off might say, well, it was the church's fault, that they left it because of something that happened in the church. Sometimes that's just an excuse. I suspect that most of the time that's an excuse. But on the other hand, if they're right, and we, the church, actually were the cause of that hurt and rejection, then we need to examine ourselves and repent as a body of any attitudes or actions that drive people away.
That's right.
I'd like for us to look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 29 through 31. Ephesians 4, 29 through 31. This passage gives us the following warning. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Anyone who comes to this house, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, a long-time church member or a first-time visitor, if they're struggling and they need help, or they're hurting and they need love and encouragement, or if they've messed up and they want to repent and get right with God, then this church, and I don't mean just the pastors, I'm not just talking about Jerry and myself, but every person in this church needs to be ready and willing to minister to that person's needs just as the Good Samaritan stopped when no one else would to tend to the wounds of someone who needed their help.
Amen.
When Jesus spoke with his disciples at the Last Supper on the night before he was betrayed and arrested, he spent a lot of time trying to prepare them for what was to come. Some of it the disciples understood, some of it they didn't. But Jesus was trying to prepare them for the stress and the grief and the emotional turmoil that they were about to experience after he was arrested and crucified. Amen. Brothers and sisters, God knows your future. Nothing takes him by surprise. And he has plainly told us ahead of time in Scripture that in this world we will have tribulation, but that we can be of good cheer because he has overcome the world. Jesus knew what was going to be in store for his disciples after he was crucified, and he wanted to prepare them for it. He knew that after he was crucified, Satan was going to try to scatter the sheep. He was going to do everything in his power to separate the disciples from God and from one another. They were going to be overwhelmed with every possible emotion: fear, confusion, uncertainty, doubt, sorrow, anger toward the Jews, anger toward the Romans, maybe even anger toward Jesus, shaking their fists toward heaven and saying, "How could you leave us alone like this?" You know, in talking to people, it's not unusual for a person who has lost a loved one to feel anger and resentment toward the person who has died. A spouse, for example. And I've heard the surviving spouse say, "Hey, I know I shouldn't be angry with my wife or my husband because they died. I know that's not rational. They didn't ask to die. But that's just the way I feel. I just feel so angry that they died and left me here alone." Jesus knew that after his crucifixion, his disciples were going to be in serious danger. And I don't mean just physical danger, but more importantly, they were going to be in spiritual danger. Danger that the stress and emotions that they were about to experience could weaken their faith, could cause them to wander off and scatter like sheep and fall away from the Lord, and ultimately maybe even deny Christ, as Peter did. The Scriptures tell us that on the morning that Jesus rose from the dead, several women ran back from the tomb and tried to tell the apostles that Christ was risen, but the apostles didn't believe them. The apostles said they were talking nonsense. These men were in spiritual danger because of their fear, their unbelief, and their lack of faith. But in spite of their fear and their lack of faith, Jesus wasn't going to leave any of them behind. So beginning on that very same day that he was raised from the dead and the stone was rolled away and he walked out of that tomb, Jesus went to go find his disciples, just as a good shepherd would go looking for his sheep. So I'd like for us now to look at the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning in verses 19 and 20. John 20, verse 19 and 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, now this is talking about Easter Sunday, this is the evening of the same day that Jesus was raised from the dead. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That very morning, just maybe 12 hours earlier, the women came straight from the tomb and tried to tell the disciples that they had spoken with angels and the tomb was empty. But the disciples didn't believe them. But that evening, when the Lord himself appeared to them, all that fear and sorrow and doubt and disbelief that had tormented them all day was now lifted off their shoulders and was replaced with peace and joy. And that would have been the perfect ending to this story, except there was one little problem. When Jesus appeared, all the disciples were present except one, Thomas. Thomas hadn't gotten the memo, and he missed out on the Lord's appearing. Let's continue reading in verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were, I will not believe it." In the original Greek, that phrase, "I will not believe it," is the most emphatic way there is to say you won't do something. Thomas isn't just saying, "I won't believe it." He's stamping his feet and he's saying, "There's no way on earth I'm going to believe it. I require proof." The Gospels don't give us very much insight into Thomas's personality, but it does seem that he was prone to being pessimistic and fatalistic, expecting the worst in every situation and expecting every situation to turn out badly. He's a cynical man who doesn't easily believe what he's being told. He requires proof before he believes. And when the other disciples surround him, all giddy with excitement and joy, and they're saying, "We've seen the Lord," I can almost imagine Thomas saying to the others, "Look, I don't know what kind of cruel joke you guys are playing on me, but it's not very funny. I know what I saw. I saw Jesus arrested and led away. I saw him tortured and nailed to a cross. I saw him buried in a tomb and a huge stone placed over the entrance. I'm telling you, Jesus is dead, and it won't be long before we are too." All the other disciples were overflowing with joy, but Thomas was a lost sheep. His faith was failing, and he was in serious danger of falling away. And you might ask the question, why didn't Jesus visit the disciples at a time when Thomas was there? Did he make a mistake? Did Jesus not realize that Thomas wouldn't be there? Had Jesus rejected Thomas? Maybe Jesus just didn't care about Thomas as much as he cared about the other disciples. Maybe Jesus was thinking, "Hey, I've got 10 other disciples. What do I need Thomas for? I'll just leave him behind." But Jesus had a special plan for Thomas.
Amen.
So exactly 1 week after Jesus was resurrected, he made a special appearance just for Thomas. The Son of God, the Lord of all, God Almighty, took time to find one lost sheep and minister to him.
Amen. Amen.
Let's continue reading in verses 26 through 28. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas may have said, "There's no way I'm going to believe," but Jesus said, "There's no way I'm leaving you behind."
Amen.
How many of you know that God meets us where we are?
Yes.
Amen. Jesus knew Thomas's heart, and he knew that Thomas needed some special encouragement, some extra help that the other disciples didn't need. So he allowed Thomas to do something no one else had been allowed to do. He allowed Thomas to touch him. The week before, on the day of his resurrection, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father." And on the evening when Jesus first appeared to the disciples and Thomas wasn't there, the scriptures say that Jesus just showed them his hands and side. But on this visit, he singled out Thomas and gave Thomas a personal invitation to touch him, to actually feel his wounds, to do whatever it took to restore the faith of this pessimistic, cynical man and bring the lost sheep back into the fold.
Thank you, Lord.
And now Thomas, who had been so lost and so full of doubt and unbelief, now makes one of the greatest statements of faith that you or I can ever make. He looked at Jesus and he preached the entire gospel in 5 words when he said, "My Lord and my God."
Amen.
Why did Jesus appear to the other disciples the very day he was resurrected, yet he waited a whole week to appear to Thomas? The scriptures don't really tell us, but I believe it's because God knows our hearts. He knows each one of us individually, and he knows that some lost sheep can be a little more stubborn than others and need a little more time to come around before they're ready to come home. I believe that God used that extra week in Thomas's life to soften and prepare his pessimistic and cynical and unbelieving heart. Just like the prodigal son, Thomas needed to stay in the pig pen just a little longer than the other disciples, until he understood just how desperately he needed his Father and was ready to fully surrender his life to him. Jesus used that week to bring Thomas to his point of need, so that by the time Jesus finally did appear to him, Thomas didn't reach out to him with the cold, skeptical, cynical attitude of an unbeliever who demands proof. No, Thomas reached out to Jesus like a drowning man reaching for a life preserver, like someone who has nowhere else to go, like someone who is finally ready to fall to his knees and unconditionally surrender his life to the risen Lord and proclaim those ultimate words of faith, "My Lord and my God." Sometimes we place such an emphasis on Easter Sunday and the resurrection that we forget that Jesus' earthly ministry did not end the moment he was resurrected. We may have the impression that his work was over and that as soon as he was raised from the dead, he left the tomb and ascended straight into heaven. But that's not the case at all. The scriptures tell us that for a period of 40 days after the resurrection, on at least 11 separate occasions that we know of, Jesus, the good shepherd, would continue appearing to his sheep just as he did to Thomas, proclaiming peace and offering them words of reassurance and encouragement and comfort. He wanted his sheep to know that he wasn't going to leave them helpless and forsaken. He wasn't going to leave them behind. And even though his earthly ministry was about to end, his eternal heavenly ministry was just beginning. And even though he wouldn't be with them in the body much longer, he wanted his disciples to know, and he wants you to know, that he was leaving a precious gift with them, his Holy Spirit, the one who would be their comforter, their helper, their advocate, their counselor, the paraclete, the one called alongside to help.
Amen.
And he wanted his disciples to know that even though he was about to ascend into heaven, he wasn't going to forget about them or us. In fact, he was going to sit down at the right hand of God the Father, where he lives forever, to make intercession for you and me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, he's not asking the Father to remove every problem and trial and struggle from our lives. On the contrary, he's told us plainly that we will have tribulation, but that we can be of good cheer, because in the midst of those trials and tribulations we face in this life,
that's right,
Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Pray that our faith will not fail and that our faith will remain strong in spite of whatever fiery darts the enemy throws at us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
In closing, I'd like to leave you with a scripture from the book of John, chapter 10, verse 11. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11. These are the words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. On the day that Marine Sergeant Bradley Casal threw his body over an injured comrade, using his own body to protect that young man from gunfire and grenade fragments, Sergeant Casal lost 60% of his blood. His broken body and his spilled blood covered that injured Marine and saved him from being destroyed by the enemy. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Let me repeat that. His broken body and his spilled blood covered that injured Marine and saved him from being destroyed by the enemy. Sergeant Casal's body took the punishment that was meant for the man he was covering with his body and blood. Brothers and sisters, when the enemy attacks you and you're hurt and you're injured, and you just want to isolate yourself from God and everyone else, please remember that Jesus was willing to lay down his life for you, and that his broken body and his spilled blood covers you and protects you from the fiery darts of the enemy who's trying to destroy you.
Thank you.
Please stand with me and bow your heads. Brothers and sisters, you can be a believer and still be a lost sheep. If that's you, I want you to know that the Good Shepherd still loves you. He hasn't given up on you, and he's not going to leave you behind. There are a lot of things that can cause a person to be a lost sheep. Maybe you've been betrayed or abandoned by someone close to you, and you're grappling with feelings of rejection or loneliness, and now you find it hard to trust God or anyone else. But God is faithful, and you can trust him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Maybe you've been feeling overwhelmed lately by the stresses of life that just don't seem to let up. It might be financial difficulties, difficulties in your marriage, problems on the job, difficulties with children, difficulties with elderly parents. The list is endless. You feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulders and it's trying to pull you away from God and the close relationship that you once had with him. Jesus wants to take those burdens from you. He wants you to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Jesus is stronger than you are. Let him bear the burden for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe you've given in to temptation and you've sinned, and the devil is trying to use that sin to condemn you and drive a wedge between you and God. He's trying to use that sin to pull you away from God and your church family. But God wants you to know that he still loves you, and that if you'll just take that sin and nail it to the cross, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want anybody to be left behind. If any of the things that I've mentioned just now have spoken to your heart and you need a fresh outpouring of God's love, His peace, His comfort, or His forgiveness, please acknowledge your need to God by just briefly raising your hands. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. As you, Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands that have gone up, acknowledging their needs to you. Every need is different, but you know them all. And we thank you for your precious promise that you will never leave behind or turn away anyone who comes to you.
Thank you, Lord.
We are your people, Lord Jesus, the sheep of your pasture, and you are the good shepherd, the shepherd of our souls.
Yes, Lord.
As we go forth from here, let us take joy and comfort in knowing that you are watching over us.
Thank you, Lord.
As a shepherd watches over his sheep.
Thank you, Jesus.
Help us never to stray from your side. But if we do, we can be confident that you won't leave us behind and that you'll come looking for us.
Yes.
Great is your faithfulness,
yes,
O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Abide in us this upcoming week, and may we continue to abide in you.
Yes, Jesus.
And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jerry.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is one of the most important messages of the church. We spend a lot of time working to get people saved. And then we tell them they're in the family of God. And they're mixed in with a bunch of strange people. And every one of us is an emotional person. Things happen to us. Sometimes we tell people, sometimes we don't. And we're like that wounded animal that just goes to the corner and tries to recover somehow, some way, some fashion. I believe Jesus put the church together and called us a body to minister to each other.
Amen.
Amen.
He said the Ten Commandments, you can put them into two, and that's love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes we don't know what we can do for someone. Sometimes we do. And there's usually someone in the church body that's been through something like that person's been is going through. The idea of ministering to each other is part of this whole principle of the Church of God.
Yeah.
We need each other. We love each other. That's God's desire for us. That no one sits here alone and suffers or doesn't come and suffer. We need to work to be that unified body of Christ.
Amen.
This is a great message, Brother Glenn.
Praise the Lord.
It is. We can't leave anybody behind.
Yeah.
We have to take that step.
Yeah.
Years ago, my son, his firstborn, was born stillborn. And it was a rough time. I remember Randy Hadler was at the hospital and he just stood there. He didn't come put his arm around me. He didn't have words to say. He didn't do anything, but he was there.
Amen.
And I'll never forget it. That was years ago. And that's one of the first things that come to my mind in this message. He was there in case I needed something, in case he could do something, just to supply what I needed.
Amen.
We have to take care of each other, folks. And I'm so thankful Brother Glenn brought this message this morning.
Thank you.
I hope it ministered to you like it ministered to me. And I hope that when you see your brothers and sisters, you can genuinely reach out to them and love them where they are.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the glory. Lord, we never set out to leave anyone behind. Lord, help us to be connected.
Yes, Jesus.
To be able and willing and to do whatever, Lord, you put in front of us to do for each other.
Yes, Jesus.
Don't let anyone in this body of believers sit and be by themselves.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us, Lord, to minister to these things that we all go through.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for today.
Yes.
Bless us like you did this morning with this message.
Yes.
Continue to do it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Amen.
I love you. God bless.
Now, that's not.